You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill.
The Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney and Nick Quinn on RSN 927.
Yes, welcome to the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you. Great to have you with us. We'll get to the Mighty Quinn, Mighty Starman, Nick Quinn, tab.com.au in just a moment. And the one and only two, Dash and Darren Park and RSN's very own, live from Melbourne Park. We're here for the Middle Hotel, Currumburra. Open 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. with food all day in January from midday. Check out the massive new deck and book your next function. You might see Matty Lloyd there on a Sunday sesh as well this Sunday or any day of the week. Of course, head down to Currumburra, South Gippy when you get the chance and check out the Middle Hotel. Of course, Tab Facilities ripping there to get on all the action. The Aussie all doubles final there, or should I say all Aussie men's doubles final, and also the women's final with our very own Ash Barty, and also the tennis, the Friday singles action coming up today, the semis there at the Australian Open 2022 in the men's, of course, mixed doubles action and much, much more. Check it out at tab.com.au and on the EBTs there at the middle. Fisher, Lise and all the crew will look after you. Let's get to Quinny.
Yeah, it's unreal. Honestly, it's just incredible. I love this tournament. I love coming out here and playing in Australia. And as an Aussie, we're exceptionally spoiled that we're a Grand Slam nation. We get to play at home. We get to play in our backyard. And I'm just happy that I get to play my best tennis here. I enjoy it. I've done well before. And now we have a chance to play for a title. It's unreal.
Yes, our very own Ash Barty. Thanks to Channel 9 last night after dismantling Madison Keys of the States, loving giving it to the Americans. Is Ash the last a few matches? Of course, she'll plan to do that again in the final, of course, against Danielle Collins of the US. We're joined by the one and only Nick Quinn, tab.com.au here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. He demanded to be first cab off the rank today, and we've granted him his wish. How are you, star man?
That's not true. After calling Isabella six times, you said she's not taking my call today. Quinny, you can come into the studio. So we've all got what we hoped we'd get. We all have got now what we wanted, and that is Ash Barty making the women's final. Hopefully she's now one victory away from that 44-year drought being broken for the Aussies at the local tournament. And the way she's playing, it's very hard to tip against her.
Isabella back tomorrow, we think. But, of course, Dash and Darren Parkin coming up a bit later on too, live from Melbourne Park. But, Quinny, we'll look at the markets at tab.com.au for the final. Of course, the men's doubles and the like in just a moment too. The all-Aussie men's doubles final. But I heard, of course, Whitey on Brekkie with Half and yourself and that on RSN 927 this morning. And, it's fantastic to see her winning like this, but is it a little bit boring?
No, I don't think so.
I wanted her to be given a run, and I thought Keys might have done that last night.
Yeah, I did too. But no, boring's not a word I would use to describe it. I think she's been emphatic. I've really enjoyed her playing the way she has. And it's a bit harsh because you watch the likes of Federer over the years do similar things to his opponents. He was the one of the big three that really would go to town on the players, especially in the first week. And it was always described as graceful and elegant and a show and whatnot, which it was. And I would like Barty to be afforded the same compliments.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, as we've said quite a bit the last couple of weeks and even before that, she's been in the form of her life this summer. I've never seen her play like this on a hard court, and I obviously leaned towards Ash yesterday, but I thought Keys was miles over the odds, but she's just nowhere near it. And it's that different look, that unique style that Barty has that really throws her opponents, and it seems to really see the players like Keys that haven't put a foot wrong all year lose the plot.
Yeah, Keys was really disappointing, and we've praised her all tournament because I think out of all the top female players, she's the most mentally fragile. When things go against her, there's not much resilience, and unfortunately we saw that again in spades. But what do we make of the final? Do you think it'll be one-way traffic, or do you think we might see Collins, who was very impressive herself? We can't overlook how good she was in her semi-final. Do you think Collins can at least be competitive? Could she cause the upset, or do you anticipate Barty will win in straight sets?
No, I think it would be pretty interesting. Like, I think Barty, obviously, the deserved favourite, $1.18. It's a similar scenario to the Keys match, so I was sort of bullish that Keys would push her to the limit. Didn't happen. I'm been a little bit of the same boat with Collins. Obviously, always been a bit underrated. She's got a huge game. It's just whether she's thrown a little bit and Barty gets in their heads really early, and it seems like it's all over, as well as Barty's playing. But no, if Collins comes to play, this is a lot closer than the 475 for Danielle suggests. But obviously, Barty deserves to be favoured and barely dropped a game. Do you think that could maybe not count against Ash, but the fact she hasn't had a real huge test so far in a final if it is pretty tight?
Look, I don't think so, because she's got the two majors already to her name, and I think she'll be pretty fine in those circumstances. If this was a first-time finalist or a player that's emerging on the scene, yes, you might have a little bit of trepidation that they haven't been pushed and really put under the microscope, but she's done it before on the big stage, so I don't think that's going to be a factor. I'm not saying she's a certainty to win, but I don't think if she doesn't win, it's because she hasn't been pushed up until this point. If anything, it's been quite hot. I think it's a positive. She's probably got more fuel in the tank than potentially Collins if it was to go deep into a third set.
And of course, Collins making a statement late last night, 6-4, 6-1. It wasn't that late because they went pretty quick, the women's semis. Barty, as we said.
Is there a bet here in the final? Is there a bet? Do you see anything we can play?
Look, I picture this going three, so you can do that market, can't you? Three sets, exact total sets. But overs obviously would be the one, I think. But I probably copped it a couple of times doing that this week in the Barty games. But yeah, I think obviously Collins is a very good player, obviously, making the finals. She's always had really good results as underdog for years, really, and deserves a Grand Slam final berth. And, whether she wins or not, look, I think you're getting over the odds. 475 is probably worth a little go, but Barty deserves a favourite. And I get the feeling, Quinny, you think maybe straight?
I think so. I think she'll win in straights, but there's no spoil there at the $1.55.
No, and just on, of course, the men's doubles final, mate, I think that might be after it, but all Aussie men's doubles final, and Kyrgios and Kokkinakis, $1.40, Purcell and Ebden, $2.80, the special K's versus the big M's, and what do you reckon, mate, because obviously yesterday the Rod Laver Arena concern wasn't a factor there for the special K's, but look, they go in as favourite, rightfully so, but obviously a lot of talk about the crowd, and I think Kyrgios got a bit prickly about that yesterday in the press conference, which side they'll be on. But actually, I hope Ebden and Purcell get up, mate, as the underdogs there, and obviously haven't been spoken about much, but it should be a ripper.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd like to see the underdogs win, and especially because they are doubles players. It's effectively how they make their cash in life, playing on the double circuit. So it'd be great for them to have their time in the sun and get a Grand Slam victory, where you look at the two Ks, Nick Kyrgios and Kokkinakis. Hopefully both of them can win a Grand Slam as well, but in a singles event, and they've won major singles tournaments across the globe as well. So they're going very well for themselves. I'm really pleased they played doubles and they've gone deep into the tournament, though. It's added a lot of excitement and potentially taken extra focus away from the fact that Djokovic isn't here. I mean, that's barely been discussed once the tournament started, which has been a big tick as well. So win, lose or draw, I think it's been great for the tournament, this doubles success that the special Ks have had, and can't wait for the final. But yeah, I think I'd like to see the outsiders win as well, Scotty.
And the Mighty Quinn, Mighty Starman, Nick Quinn, tab.com.au here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. Of course, a huge day ahead today, mate. Day 12 at Melbourne Park. Got men's semi-final action. Usually, I think we have one night, one the next. Obviously, it was different to have the women's semis at night, usually, I think, during the day. But Berrettini and Nadal will be during the day, 2:30 this afternoon. Rafa, $1.44. Berrettini's drifting to 2.80. We'll get to that in just a tick. Tsitsipas, Medvedev, $1.37. Medvedev, Tsitsipas, or however you say it there, Quiddy, 3.10.
No, don't you turn on me. You've said it like I've said it.
Tsitsipas? I think you say it a little bit different, though.
No, yeah? That's what I said.
Oh, well, listen back so on the Greek club, Sharapovalov. But
we've moved on from that one.
But, just on Berrettini and Nadal, mate, it's interesting, isn't it, that Berrettini's drifting. I think Berrettini's a big chance and probably, yeah, probably 250, the original market there at tab.com.au, probably more correct. He's, apart from losing the Demono in that first match of the year, I think at the ATP Cup, he's found his mojo again. Nadal's been sublime all tournament, as we said yesterday, Starman, but he looked maybe to have a few cracks towards the end of the match yesterday, maybe a little bit niggles and that. So, yeah, look, I think Nadal might win 3-2. I think this goes five sets, but Berrettini might be worth a little dabble.
I'm leaning to Nadal. I don't like him against left-handers, and I think we saw that was the case the other day when he was in a bit of trouble at various stages. I think he'll get the job done. I think the other two guys on the other side of the draw are playing better at this point in time. So I think Nadal's probably, through no fault of his own, worked it nicely where potentially he's got through the softer side of the draw and will reach the final, where Tsitsipas up against Medvedev will be an absolute cracker. There's been a bit of social media work that these two have had some clashes in the past as well doing the rounds, but $3.10, you could make a case for the star Greek, but then again, Medvedev, maybe the other night was the scare he needed. He was close to losing, he came through that, and if he goes on and wins the tournament now, we'll look back how he survived a match point.
It's funny you say that, because, yeah, Steph brushed it off in the press conference the other day, but there's clearly history between these two, and I think Medvedev definitely has the better record against him since it all started, but I think on form, the 3.10, if he can keep his head in the game, that's pretty juicy for the Greg Freg of the tennis world.
Yeah, well, I agree with you there. I don't mind the over 38.5 for my play on that game. I think. I mean, you get four sets, you'll definitely win, you'd think, and you could even pinch it with three, but I don't think one of these players will win in straight sets, so the over 38.5 for mine is my bet there.
We'll have a clearer picture, obviously, after today. Quinny, just before we let you go, really appreciate your time here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927, nickquintab.com.au. Who are you tipping then overall for the men's at Melbourne Park?
I don't really know. I'm a little bit torn now because we've seen enough from the outsiders to suggest that they're a good chance at beating the two big guns. But then the flip side is we sat here a week ago and I said I thought it'd be Medvedev versus Nadal in the final, and we're two games away from that being the case. We won't bring up your Zverev selection again. Is he barred now?
Yeah, I think he might be here because what an opportunity here. And yeah, we've spoken about it a bit and about whether there's an asterisk. And I think maybe a little
bit more.
No,
but is Medvedev barred? Oh, sorry. Is Zverev barred?
Yeah,
well, is he just a non-winner?
Well, what I was saying, I wouldn't have minded a new winner given Djokovic isn't there. I could have lived with that more. And there could be a new winner, obviously. But, yeah, he has to be barred just when I was coming around to him, mate. But, yeah, could easily see a maiden Grand Slam winner here. But, obviously, Medvedev, Nadal, the rightful favourites to go through.
I think the overs is Nadal at 350.
Yeah, I agree, because I agree with you, even though maybe that might have got him out of a bit of a funk, Medvedev. He has been a bit below Nadal throughout the tournament. Good on you, star man. Look forward to chatting over the weekend here on the Tennis Podcast, and happy punting.
Going to miss you next week. It's been good fun.
Nick Quinn, tab.com.au here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. And goodness me, the Middle Hotel Currumburra. Check it out. What a place to watch the tennis, racing, all the sport, of course, and as we mentioned just before, open 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. with food all day in January from midday. Check out the massive new deck and book your next function down there at the Middle Hotel in South Gippie, Currumburra. Great tab facilities, and of course, currumburrahotel.com.au. Check it out. Fish, Elise, and all the crew will look after you. The coldest beer in town, and of course, magnificent feed.
The all-new Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Know the beauty of having a wild one with an all-new turbocharged engine. Bred to be fearless with a strikingly sculpted exterior, soft touch leather interior, and a kingdom worth of Kia boot space. Unleash the beast, explore the beauty with the redesigned Kia Sportage. For more info, visit kia.com.au.
Kia, movement that inspires.
Dan Malicki here. I hope you can join me every Saturday morning with Simone Fisher and Matt Stewart for Cracking the Code, starting from 6 a.m.
Feels amazing. I mean, it's been such a journey, and it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it's so many years of hard work and hours at an early age on court. I mean, you know, yesterday I was talking about all the early mornings my dad would get up with me and practice with me before school, and you know, it's just incredible to be on this stage, and especially with the health challenges, I'm just so grateful, and I couldn't be happier.
Heard from Ash Barty before, that'll be her opponent, another American in the final there at the Women's Australian Open 2022 at Melbourne Park, Rod Laver Arena, Saturday night, of course, after Danielle Collins, dismantled Swiatek last night, 6-4, 6-1 after earlier on. Now, very own Ash Barty, as we spoke about with Quinny before, was far too strong yet again for her opponent, American opponent as well, Madison Keys, 6-1, 6-3. Is now from Quinny to Dash we go, our very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on RSN 927. A pretty straightforward evening, a pretty quick evening last night there at Melbourne Park.
Yeah, well, we sort of sensed it might have been a bit of a danger game, but you could tell pretty early that it wasn't going to be for Ash. She just continues her devastating form. She's only dropped 21 games in the tournament thus far, and when you factor in that she's broken serve 26 times and only had her own serve broken once, if you go through her matches, it's 6-love, 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 6-2, 6-3, 6-4, 6-3, 6-2, 6-love, 6-1, 6-3. So she's just been absolutely dominant, similar numbers to what Raducanu put up at the US Open, but obviously Ash's sort of body of work behind that is certainly more, even more impressive. First Australian into a final on the women's side of the draw since Wendy Turnbull, and hopefully the first Australian winner since Chris O'Neill in 1978. She'll play her fourth American in a row, and with Danielle Collins will certainly be tricky. She had some battles early in the tournament, Collins, but her last two matches, the quarter and the semi, have been pretty dominant over Cornet and then Swiatek last night. So she comes in with some good touch. She's played well in Australia before, but Ash is in career-best form. And when you factor in that she's won a French Open and a Wimbledon crown, the fact that she's in career-best form is certainly saying something. But I've never seen her play better. She absorbs all of the pressure. She completely broke Keys's rhythm. And that'll be the game plan again with Collins, who's a real fighter, but fundamentally a very aggressive player. So if she can break that rhythm, then yeah, she's obviously halfway there. She leads 3-1 in the head-to-head. She won the first three and lost their most recent battle, but that was at the start of 2020, coming off the Australian Open, I think, in Adelaide. So, yeah, fingers crossed she can obviously do the right thing by everybody and maintain her form. And look, it's hard to see her getting beaten on form, but in saying that, Danielle Collins could potentially trouble her with, A, her own form, but also the fact that she just hangs in there and fights and fights and fights and certainly won't allow it to be easy for Ash.
We'll look a bit more at the final in depth there, Ash Barty and Danielle Collins, Dash. And just to tick just on last night and I guess the whole tournament for Ash, I know Whitey touched on it on the Bread Club here on RSN 927 this morning with Half, that it was sort of a little bit boring sometimes, to the emphatic way she's been winning. Do you see it that way? I did find it last night that way, but do you think it probably... I want to see her given a run. I love watching Ash win, but I want a tighter contest.
Yeah, I get the mentality, but not really. I don't think we're in that position to be, I guess, that picky, if that makes sense. Like, we haven't had success at home for 4.5 decades. I think, you know, if she wins every match in a bagel and we break that drought, then that's magnificent. I get the premise that you want to see it competitive. I've often had that view in cricket, for example, that you don't want to watch five nil series wins and win every match by an innings and that sort of thing. But I think with Barty, she plays a style of tennis that's easy on the eye, and I think we've been so starved of success that, you know, I don't care how it comes. I don't care if it comes 7-6 in the third or 6-love, 6-love. I just think that, you know, we're at a point now where it'd be great to celebrate what hopefully is something that most of us haven't seen in the whole time we've been alive. So I get where Whitey's coming from, but I'm personally not in that position to feel that we're, that spoiled, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I really want to see a bit of a closer match to see her have to, as you say, it's not Barty's fault. She's absolutely flying and playing brilliant tennis, which is great to watch. But look, obviously, and it comes from that style too, doesn't it, a lot, that her opponents, like Keys has been in incredible form, obviously completely different game styles, but they seem to lose the plot a little bit when they play Ash. Her style really gets in their heads, and I've got a feeling it might not so much with Collins, but I'm a bit worried it might happen to an extent. But I think we're going to have a better final than we've seen so far. Obviously, Barty, I think, probably wins and will be the huge favourite, as we said with Quinny before, tab.com.au, and rightfully so. $1.18, Collins $4.75. But I've just got a feeling this one might be a little bit more competitive.
Yeah, I've got little doubt. I mean, Collins, you know, she won't let that get into her head too much. She's prepared to grind and fight, and, you know, nothing. I know she can get a bit agitated, but nothing phases her too much. So, yeah, I think Ash's form and probably her all-round game might have more tricks to it. But, yeah, I think Collins will certainly... She won't be phased too much by the occasion or by what Ash is doing. So it'll simply come down to who executes better, and hopefully that's Ash. But, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it goes three, or if it is straight, that it would be two tighter straight sets, you know, 6-4, 7-5, something like that. Or it goes the distance. So, I don't think it'll be the absolute cakewalk, but as long as he lifts the trophy, that's the main thing.
And a lot of people might raise eyebrows at Danielle Collins being in the final, but those in the know, Dash, wouldn't so much. He's been very solid for a long time. Obviously, a bit disrespected by the odds, a lot of tab.com.au. I've seen her win many times over the years as underdog, and so this is not out of the blue, but that's for sure. But obviously, a maiden, as she spoke before about Grand Slam final, years of hard work and obviously a dream for her to get there, and obviously her dream is to go one better. But it's not a ridiculous surprise, it might seem, that Collins is there.
No, that's right. She made a semi at the Australian Open a couple of years ago, so we've seen her play well here before. She's had some health issues and some fitness issues that have, you know, impacted her. It's a great effort to come here, and I guess you look at the purpose with which she, you know, marched off the court after winning last night. She basically just put one hand in the air and then walked straight to the bench and then walked straight to the interview. It did look like that. You know, I'm not finished yet. You know, this is great, but I've come here to win the whole thing kind of mindset. Now, obviously, she's got to go out and do that, but it did look like, you know, she had that determination. And, yeah, people might not, even amongst American tennis players, people probably, you know, think of four or five others before they even get to her, rightly or wrongly. But, yeah, she's always been rock solid, and every time you see her name on the sheet, you know that she's going to be pretty competitive. So in an era of, you know, fairly even women's tennis in the last six or so years, I mean, hopefully Ash is about to be the breakaway, but yeah, Danielle Collins is every bit as good as a lot of those that have won titles in recent times.
Let's hope the Barty party continues, though, and hopefully 7-5 in the third, something like that. I'll take more of their Dash, but of course, a really successful time for the Aussies at the moment, mate, and let's have a listen to Ash.
Incredibly so, and I think, honestly, Dylan, for me, is at the forefront of that. He has inspired a nation. He's inspired the whole globe, and we were watching his match today, and I mean, I was with my physio about an hour before we were coming out, and when he was saying his acceptance speech, we were both crying. I was like, shit, like, I need to get out here and get ready, get a game on. But like, I just wanted to watch Dylan, and for him to be able to share that moment with so many people here, and like you said, you look around and the way that he and the Australian Open have worked together to open up the opportunities for more disabled people all around the world to play tennis and to have a go is just exceptional. I couldn't be more proud of him.
Well said there, Ash Barty, after a win last night there on Rod Laver Arena. Talking about the Aussie success at Melbourne Park, we'll chat about that men's doubles all-Aussie final in just a moment, Dash, and obviously the mixed doubles. We've got representation big time there as well, and of course, Dylan Alcott, Australian of the Year, as we spoke about a bit this week, Dash. More than deserving, but unfortunately wasn't to be for him yesterday in his swan song.
Yeah, and there's a couple of layers to it. Like, full credit to Schroeder, who was amazing watching that final. He was completely flawless, and you know, Dylan was pulling out all stops, particularly in that first set, which obviously went very, very deep. You know, he had his chances. He actually served for it at 5-4, but he was, you know, busting his backside and doing everything he possibly could to try to get through that. But Schroeder was just too solid, and You sort of weigh all of that in and think that on one hand, playing a very good player, obviously it's been a huge week for Dylan going to Canberra to get the Australian of the Year gong, obviously all of the emotion around his last tournament and the farewell tour, it is a heck of a lot to be carrying on your shoulders, and you know, maybe all of that combined led to it, you know, not being his best day on the court. But, you know, he didn't need to win this to prove anything. He didn't need to tick any other box off. It obviously would have been nice for him to win his eighth Australian Open in a row, but he didn't need to. I think his legacy is what it is. And, you know, he retires as somebody. I mean, that match was, it delayed the Channel 9 news. It was on prime time. And, you know, to think 10 years ago that a wheelchair tennis final would do that, you know, no one in the world would have imagined it, and it's largely down, almost all down to Dylan Alcott. So, yeah, he should be most proud of that, I would think.
Dash, how much of a factor was going to Canberra? I must admit, I was a bit surprised when I heard that was happening. Obviously, it was a trip worthwhile, and it's hard to probably delay it too much, but it did surprise me a little bit mid-tournament that was happening.
It's a hard one to say no to, obviously, with that gong that's coming your way, and whether he knew he was going to win it or not, I'm not sure. But often, if they know you're going to win it, they'll be quite insistent on you, and you kind of get the message. But it's in terms of preparation for a Grand Slam final, not ideal, but the whole circumstance is unusual. So I mean, there's no way of measuring whether that cost him or how much of an impact that had on the final. But needless to say, when you're planning to play in a Grand Slam final, that wouldn't be your top of your list of things to do.
Now, I remember Yankovic, I think, when she was playing Ivanovic at the French, she flew back to Serbia and then obviously got walloped, I think, in the final. So, yeah, it's not ideal, but, yeah, obviously it wasn't quite to be for Alcott and his swan song, but as you said, he'll continue for many, many years to, of course, the legacy and making a real difference in the world. Of course, just before we get to the big M's versus the special K's, mate, in the men's doubles final, all Aussie men's doubles final shortly, mate. Of course, mixed doubles final, a representation for us, of course, Fulis and Kubler, $3 outsiders against Mladenovic and Doherty at $1.35. So a tough one, but just a ripping effort to make the final and hopefully win it.
Yeah, I mean, Mladenovic and Dodik have been, you know, playing doubles for a while. Obviously, for Mladenovic from France, her singles form has dropped away a touch in the last couple of years, but certainly a very good doubles player. But Kubler and Fulis, they'd never played together. They'd never won a Grand Slam match in doubles level prior to this tournament in their individual doubles careers, sort of separate from each other. So quite extraordinary that they've been able to do this. They're obviously going to get some silverware one way or another, but you know, they've saved 7 match points in this tournament. They've saved match points in 3 different matches. They saved 4 against Ebden and Stoza. They saved 2 in their quarter final, and they saved 1 in the semi the other day as well. So they just keep digging their way through. And, you know, it's one of those fairy tales. It's remarkable that we've got 3 pairings in doubles finals across the course of the next couple of days. And obviously Barty in the women's singles final. And we've got Charlotte Kempinez-Cox in the in the girls' semis as well, first semi-finalist at junior level since 2016 for an Australian. I think Alex De Minaur and Sarah Tomic were the last two to make a semi-final, and hopefully she can win the whole thing. She'd be the first since Ash Barty won Wimbledon as a junior in 2011, and the first since 1995 at the Australian Open. So, yeah, there's a good chance for some firsts.
Shannon Arison's very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927 live from Melbourne Park. We'll get to the men's semis today. Huge day of action, day 12, Melbourne Park in just a moment. And your final thoughts on the women's final as well. But, of course, as we say, it's the All-Aussie men's doubles finals at Melbourne Park tomorrow, I should say, I think, as well. And any Australian pairing, apparently, there at tab.com.au to win the men's doubles at the start of the tournament was $5.50. Wish we had a piece of that because you can't lose there, Dash. Now, Ebden and Purcell, incidentally, were 15s to win at the start. Kokkinakis and Kyrgios were 17s, and I know Luke and Patterson Lakes, as we spoke about a bit the last couple of days, got close to those odds just a few days ago. But I spoke about it with Quinny before, mate. Obviously now it's flipped a little bit on those odds because Kyrgios Kokkinakis are the $1.40 favourites. Ebden Purcell at $2.80 probably seems about right, maybe a little bit harsh on Ebden Purcell. But who do you think will win? But also, who do you want to win? Because me and Quinny are leaning to the underdogs here, mate. We want to see the underdogs win. I guess it'd be really split across the country, but you might be going for the underdogs too, mate, after that press conference yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Ebden and Purcell, their doubles history is longer, though I guess they're more, one of them had, you know, singles careers as well, and Ebden was top 40 in the world and all of that, but you know, he won the Australian Open mixed doubles title, I think, in about 2013 or thereabouts. So he made a final with Stoza in the last couple of years in mixed as well. Obviously now into a men's doubles final. So it'll be a nice reward for him. I think he turned 35 this year. His missus is having a baby as well. If obviously he could land a Grand Slam title, Max Purcell's had his headlines in the last couple of months in regards to clashes with Leighton Hewitt and various other things, but he's made a Grand Slam final before, but this is a pair that we saw make the quarters last year. They were outstanding in beating Salisbury and Ram, a very good doubles combination. They made the final last year. They won the US Open last year as well, those two, so great result for them to beat them. And then obviously Kokkinakis and Kyrgios have been the travelling road show, not the circus act, so they've obviously been brilliant together, but they've attracted such enormous support. And yeah, obviously you can't lose, but there is a part of you that thinks that, you know, Ebden and Purcell, the toil over the journey, you'd love to see that rewarded. And Kyrgios and Kokkinakis likewise, they've been absolutely brilliant for tennis in terms of attracting new fans. So you really can't lose. There are 4 Australians in the final, and, you know, either way, it's been a great result for both of them. But the question I was asking, Nick, I think is a reasonably valid one as to, you know, the crowd has been so phenomenal in support of Kokkinakis and Kyrgios. I get the feeling they'll still have the crowd against Ebden and Purcell because they're a little bit more off-Broadway. But it won't be the same. It won't be that same, you know, 98% parochial roaring at the opposition's mistakes. I think clearly they'll be a little bit more respectful of Ebden and Purcell.
Absolutely, they're dashed, and yes, I can't wait for the All-Aussie Men's Doubles Final on Saturday, but of course today, before that, mate, we've got plenty of action there, and what a day of men's semi-final action we've got. Nadal, $1.44 first up at 2:30 this arvo against Berrettini, 2:80 at tab.com.au. So a bit of a drifter is the Italian from the 2:50 yesterday, and of course Tsitsipas, 3:10, Medvedev, $1.37. I think the odds are a little bit skewed there. Obviously, Medvedev should be favoured, but Steph's in that flying under the radar form, as we spoke about yesterday too, Dash. Gives a maiden Grand Slam winner a real chance here at Melbourne Park, mate. Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for Berrettini, he's got the weaponry, and as we've mentioned a couple of times, wouldn't necessarily be spooked by this particular matchup. Nadal's been here so many times and handled this challenge so many times. I mean, how many Grand Slam semi-finals would he have won in his career? It'd be 28 or something like that, if you factor in maybe 30-odd, depending on how many finals he's played in. So, you know, he's been there and done that. Berrettini had a very good year last year, went deep in all of the slams. I think he made the fourth round of the Australian Open and withdrew with injury, but made at least the quarters of the rest. You know, he's another one of those next gen that probably doesn't get spoken about to the same extent that Medvedev, Zverev and Tsitsipas does. But yeah, every chance. I'd say that'd be close to 50-50 on pure ability. It just comes down to whether experience plays any factor in it. But I think Berrettini's got every chance and should take it deep. And Medvedev, maybe in these conditions and on these surfaces, might hold the slight advantage over Tsitsipas. But Tsitsipas played his best match since the French Open the other day. So if he replicates that, then he's going to be pretty hard to beat as well.
7:30 on Rod Laver Arena tonight, of course, that clash. And, might just about be still going. Berrettini Nadal, I reckon that'll go five and we'll have an epic. But I'll lean to Nadal 3-2. But I think Berrettini ended up to his ears. And Tsitsipas and Medvedev, we've got a bit of history, Dash. That'll be very interesting.
Yeah, they do. There's an interesting little YouTube video or clip that pops up on social media of a run-ins they've had on court in the past. So, yeah, I don't think there's a lot of love lost, and they're both pretty passionate customers. So, yeah, it will certainly be very interesting.
And last but not least, your sort of scoreline in the women's final tomorrow night, Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast, RSN's very own, on RSN 927, Barty at $1.18, Collins 475. I think Collins is a little bit overs, but I thought that yesterday with Keys. What are your thoughts?
I think Barty's 7-5, 6-4, probably. I think two tightish sets where she might just have the edge. Could certainly go three, but Barty will be made to work. But I reckon something like 7-5, 6-4.
6-3, 4-6, 7-5 for mine. Enjoy it, Dash, and see you at Melbourne Park soon.
You will.
You're listening to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927.
Looking for a kitty, gonna look in every corner.